With the tax bill poised to clear Congress this week, observers have discovered a variety of loopholes. One of them, Pitt Law professor Tony Infante says, could leave targets of sexual harassment and abuse vulnerable. Infante discussed the provision with 90.5 WESA's On Lee Herring.
There's a provision in the tax bill that says people can't take deductions on payments that are part of a sexual harassment or abuse settlement if that settlement is subject to a non-disclosure agreement. This provision ostensibly is meant to discourage these agreements, which keep settlements confidential and are viewed as contributing to the secrecy that often surrounds cases involving sexual harassment and abuse. So why is it a problem?
Yeah, well, the problem seems to stem from the fact that the provision was written in haste, along with most of the rest of the tax bill. So it wasn't really well thought out. The way that the provision is drafted, it doesn't make any mention of the identity of the taxpayer. It doesn't talk about, people who are accused of sexual harassment or sexual abuse or, who employ people that do that. It just says no deduction shall be allowed. So that, because it's so broadly written, would cover both the victims, the employers, and the perpetrators themselves. And people think about just the perpetrators having deductions because they're paying the settlement. But the problem is that the victim, when they get the settlement amount, the amount of the settlement will often be included in their income and they'll have to pay tax on it. So it doesn't just, target the perpetrators and their employers who are trying to cover things up. It also is going to get to victims who might have very legitimate privacy reasons for not wanting to have, an allegation about sexual harassment or sexual abuse disclosed publicly.
What would some of those reasons be?
Well, some of the reasons why they might not want to have it publicly disclosed would be, if you have somebody who's involved in a case with somebody who's well-known, they may not want to be hounded by the press. They may worry about effects on their ability to get a job or make a living in the future if this type of thing is disclosed. And so they might have some legitimate reasons that, should be taken into account in determining whether or not there's a non-disclosure agreement.
How would such a loophole make it into the tax bill?
Well, it seems that they put this in the tax bill to address the ongoing sexual harassment scandals in Congress and in corporate America. The problem is that, as I said, it's not horribly well thought out. They didn't really spend a lot of time, it seems, thinking through how to draft this provision. And it seems they also didn't really give any thought, because there were no hearings about this or about really anything in the tax bill, looking for expert-type advice, about whether the tax system is really the appropriate way to go after this issue. The other basic problem with this is that it's not even going to hit some of the highest profile scandals. There's no penalty for the perpetrator, when you're talking about congressmen, using the public treasury to pay out settlements, because there it's not the congressman who's making the payment, it's the U.S. government. The U.S. government's not an income taxpayer. They don't have to file a tax return at the end of the year. So this provision would do nothing to deter non-disclosure agreements in Congress. The same would go for the, when you're talking about tax-exempt entities, there's been lots of allegations against the Catholic Church with respect to sexual abuse, which is also covered by this provision. The Catholic Church is a tax-exempt entity. They don't really care about these deductions either, so this provision would do really nothing to deter non-disclosure agreements and those settlements either. So that's in part why looking outside the tax system might be an answer instead of always looking to tax to provide the answer.
In recent weeks, people have been discovering a variety of loopholes in this tax bill. I'm wondering, why hasn't this one gotten more attention?
I think that's a really good question. I'm actually surprised that it hasn't gotten more attention because it really brings together two issues that are in the news. Sexual harassment scandals, and that's been in the news for months now, and the tax bill has been in the news for months now, but this is, tucked away and buried in a very, very long bill, and I just think it's escaped notice.
How did you discover it?
I found it because I was teaching a seminar this fall, and at the end of the seminar, I asked the students to take a look at the tax reform bills that were going through Congress and pick one or two provisions that they wanted to focus on and tease out some of the implications of the provisions. And, you know, I had gone through the bill and I identified things that I thought were interesting, and I found this among them. And one of my students also picked this provision as the one that he wanted to focus on. And so we spent some time in class discussing it and teasing it out, and that got me thinking about it further.
It's assumed that this bill will be passed into law very soon. What would it take to fix this kind of loophole?
Well, I mean, once it's passed into law, I mean, they would have to go back in, really, and, you know, amend the legislation. It's not the kind of thing that I could see the Treasury Department trying to fix just through regulations, or the IRS trying to just fix through regulations, because the plain text of the statute is really, really broad. And I think it would take another act of Congress to fix this.
So you've hit on a way in which this provision could, in some cases, directly contradict what seems to be the goal here. Are there any other unforeseen consequences?
Yes, there's another problem with the way that the provision's been drafted, and drafted so broadly. It doesn't just target the settlements, but it can also target any payment that's related to sexual harassment that's subject to a non-disclosure agreement, or sexual abuse that's subject to a non-disclosure agreement. And the way that the provision is drafted, it doesn't just apply to, your ordinary necessary business expenses. It applies to any deduction under the income tax, which is very different from the way that these provisions are usually drafted and have been drafted in the past. They're usually cabined in a lot more. And with it being so broadly drafted, it could disallow all sorts of potential other deductions for a victim. I mean, one thing that comes to mind is if you have a victim who, years after the settlement is over and done, the victim, is still getting, say, mental health care, going to a psychologist, a psychiatrist, to deal with the sexual harassment, to deal with the abuse. It's possible to read this bill as disallowing the medical expense deduction for seeing the psychiatrist or the psychologist if that sexual harassment is subject to a non-disclosure agreement.
Have you seen other instances like this where it just seems to be such a gaping loophole just in all your years in studying the tax code and teaching tax law?
Yeah, well, of course, there's plenty of loopholes. I mean, it's hard to think of one that is just this poorly drafted. I mean, there's always holes in any provision. No one can draft an airtight provision, only because it's usually pretty impossible to think of every potential circumstance that can possibly come up with different people. I mean, there's always going to be something new or different that comes up after the fact that people, didn't anticipate or even couldn't anticipate. But these are all questions that pretty easily could be anticipated if they just had a hearing and had some experts come forward and give them some feedback on, how provisions work. I mean, this has just been so hastily done. I mean, when they try to compare this to 1986, that tax reform effort lasted for years. It started for years before the final bill was passed in 1986, and this has just been so rushed with really no public input and no input from experts that it's really disconcerting and disheartening that this is the way that they're crafting tax legislation now. And there was one other thing that I just wanted to point out too, in terms of, inartful drafting and creating possible problems, which is the effective date. I mean, so there's the provision that allows the disallowance, but then Congress always has to decide, well, when is this going to go into effect? What payments are going to get hit by this? Is it just going to be payments with respect to settlements that are entered into after the agreement, before the agreement? Well, the way they have it drafted is that it's going to hit any payments or settlements that are made after the tax bill is passed into law, even if the settlement and non-disclosure agreement were entered into years before. And that creates potential problems for victims because, you might have a situation that you think is long behind you, and now potentially you're going to have, you know, the perpetrator or the employer of the perpetrator, someone, you know, the person you entered into the non-disclosure agreement with, coming back to you and asking to maybe rescind the non-disclosure agreement to try to open the door to, once again, being able to deduct the settlement payments that may be ongoing, or other payments with respect to it that are ongoing and now would be disallowed. And so then you're making people who thought that this, you know, disturbing episode in their life, you know, was behind them, are now going to have to revisit it because Congress has, you know, an effective date that's going to capture any payment that comes after the bill is passed into law, probably sometime this week.